welcome to the 514 Church, Pep Reddy! Who's excited to be here? With me. We are going to sing some Christmas carols. If you are visiting today, this is 514 Church. Welcome. This is the gathering before the gathering. This is the rally before the rally. We are here today to get our hearts ready for what God is going to do. Is anyone excited out there? It's going to be amazing. It's the most wonderful time of the year. We're going to sing some Christmas carols. Who's going to sing with me? You guys gonna sing with me? Here we go. All right, here we go. Dashing through the snow, sing it out. In a one-horse open sleigh, come on. Over the fields we go, laughing all the way. Ha, 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 bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Get these hands together. Sleighing song tonight, sing it out. The way, oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Here we go. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. Sing it out! And if you ever saw
Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
vote down for the greatest Christmas song of all time. I'm a little disappointed that in that last song, we didn't sing the part about the figgy pudding. Does everybody just love figgy pudding? No, no one likes figgy pudding. But right now, just take a minute, find someone you love, give them a hug, tell them Merry Christmas. Find it. Today, and let's sing this out together. Here we go. Come on, sing it loud. Sing it from the heart. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Sing it out. And everybody knows some turkey and a mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. Here's what they know, come on. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. Offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. All right. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. We are so grateful that you are here, and I want to invite up John McCambridge and Carmen Smith to the stage. Give them a big round of applause.
Wow. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Carmen.
Yeah, geez. I don't know if this crowd's very
peppy. Nobody wished it back. Actually, yeah. You look very Christmassy today.
Thank you. I tried.
Brad and Jenna showed up with zero Christmas spirit.
Yeah, I mean, Brad's in black.
I'm wearing
a light-up necklace,
and Brad is wearing a black shirt. That's very upsetting to me.
Bah humbug right over there.
All right, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and pass the buckets. We do this every single weekend. We do this every service. This is an opportunity to worship God. And one of the things that we have an opportunity to do here at this church, which is really cool, is we have these five partnerships with other ministries who are in all over Columbus, all over the world, Haiti, Cambodia, who are reaching people in places we aren't in ways that we can't. And so when you give the 514 Church, you are also helping these other ministries do what only they can do. And on Christmas Eve services, which Carmen's going to talk about here in a second, we had an opportunity because of the generosity of this church to do something really, really cool and really special for our partners. And so you guys don't want to miss that. That's going to be exciting. Carmen, when is that?
You know, John, it's tomorrow. Wow. Star of Wonder is tomorrow.
Look at that.
Yep, 4 and 6 p.m. tomorrow on the 23rd. And then also on Christmas Eve, the 24th at 4 and 6 o'clock, we have full childcare for all of those services. And today, you still have a chance to grab one of these cards and invite someone. Just to remind everybody, on the back, it says that we will donate $5 to one of our ministry partners if a first-time guest brings this to our info area or fills out a Connect card. So it's really, really cool. You can be extra generous this year when you invite people. I thought, John, I had a great idea, which
that's
also, while you were doing giving, I was standing like this because I should be like a mantle, right?
Yeah, but yours doesn't light up like Julia's.
With it, okay, whatever. So I have some Christmas jokes that I thought might, you know, help people ease into inviting people to Star of Wonder, ease the nerves a little bit.
You sure?
Yeah, so I'm going to read a couple.
These are really good jokes. I okayed them with David before I left. He loved them.
Okay, this is a pickup line for the singles. I thought of Bryce when I thought of this one. So again, Bryce, this is your tactic to invite someone to Christmas, okay? These are so bad. Can I have your picture so I could show Santa what I want for Christmas? These are terrible. Okay, here's
That's
a little more
joke.
General. Okay, this isn't a pickup line.
It's not gonna work.
Okay, John, what do you call a snowman with a six-pack?
I don't know.
An abdominal snowman? The best part is, you know the thing, the monster-looking one? An what's his name?
Abominable.
So I thought forever he was an abdominal snowman. I literally just learned it last year. Here's another one. What do you call people who are afraid of Santa?
Come
on.
Oh, claws.
Claustrophobic. Do you guys get it?
See, I got that
Okay. And then if someone is a little bit mean or looks a little annoyed, like they're having a bad day, this is one I'd use on John maybe. What do you call a mean reindeer? A Rudolph. Look at his face. He's so mad. Okay, anyway, so.
Don't do that. They
you should
come.
Use those. That will help you get people to Star of Wonder. You might need to rest, though, from me in this place. So we are going to rest on the 29th. We have no church.
Yeah, that's right.
No rejuvenate. On the 29th. Okay, don't come. Don't come to church. We won't be here. Hang out with your families. Rest. And enjoy a Sunday off.
Carmen, I had something that I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah. So, you want me to hold my arms out?
Sure. I still don't know why you're doing that, but okay.
It's a mantle,
I was
John.
Watching a movie yesterday, and it's a movie that some of you guys may have seen before. It's a movie starring Vince Vaughn. And this movie has such a star-studded cast that I felt like I needed to tell you about how amazing cast was. Okay, so this movie had three-time Oscar winner Kevin Spacey, Oscar winner Kathy Bates, Oscar winner Rachel Weisz,
wow,
Oscar nominee Paul Giamatti,
wow,
and three-time Emmy nominee Elizabeth Banks.
Incredible.
So this was like you look at that cast, okay, you see that cast and you think this is going to be an amazing movie.
I love it, yeah.
Now the movie that I'm referring to is the 2007 Christmas comedy Fred Claus.
Oh.
Okay? Which is a terrible movie. Somebody clap for Fred Claus, which is amazing.
We had many claps for Fred Claus, John.
And so my point, Carmen, is that, you know, looks can be deceiving. And you're standing up here today, and you look
like Christmas.
You like Christmas.
No, I look like I love Christmas.
You look like you love Christmas, but based on knowing you and kind of hearing some of your inner thoughts, I actually happen to know that you don't like Christmas.
Wrong.
And I apologize for the language, but I would even call you a Grinch.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. What's okay,
so
listen
will
here.
So please tell the people why you're deceiving them
I mean,
right
you
now.
Share a vulnerable moment on this team, you know, about a struggle with Christmas, and then suddenly you get told in front of hundreds of people that you hate Christmas. That's my retelling, so I can prove, though, that I love Christmas.
All right, I'm willing to try this. Here's what we're going to do.
Bring it.
I'm going to ask 8 Christmas questions, and I need everybody who's out there to get your phones out and write down answers to every question that I ask. Do not cheat, because Santa is watching and so is God. And so don't cheat. But here's what we're going to do. If anybody out there gets more right than you, there's probably 300 or 400 people out there, then you don't love Christmas.
Whatever.
And if you beat every single person out there, then you do love Christmas. But I'm going to make you publicly reveal your answers because...
Fine. I'm ready to go.
I want everybody to know just how much you're lying right now about loving Christmas.
Okay,
all right?
Let's go.
So here is question number 1. I want everybody to look up on the screen and tell me who is this classic Christmas character. Just write it down. Write it down, right? That's an easy one. And so some of you may be feeling very confident right now. And so I want you to also answer who is this classic Christmas character. Oh boy. See, which one's this, Carmen? Honestly, I thought you liked Christmas. This is claymation. This is classic stuff. Okay, we'll do another easy one. Question number three. At what geographic location does Santa Claus reside? You guys pretty confident in your answer on that one? Okay, how about this? On what continent is that place a part of? What continent is Santa Claus's house on?
I got it. No, I'm not cheating.
All right. Okay, question number five. Look up at the screen. What is the name of this boy who gets left home alone in the 1990 film Home Alone? What's his name in the movie? Okay. You guys pretty confident in that? Yeah, you guys doing all right? Okay, question number six. In this same movie, the criminal duo of Marv Merchants and Harry Lime give themselves this nickname. Wow. Gotten about 500 right now, you think? Don't look at Brad. What is, has this been happening? All right, this is not a package deal. Brad. All right. Question number seven. We're going to do Christmas songs and Christmas poetry, okay? Number seven. In It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, the 1951 song originally performed by Perry Como, what is the wish of Barney and Ben? No. The wish of Barney and Ben. I thought that one was easy. I sang that in choir in eighth grade, so I know the answer. I was actually 8 for 8 on these questions because I love Christmas. You ready? This is the last one, all right? Now this is, you guys have to give me a second. This is kind of like a monologue, okay? 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the roof there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash. I tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. What is a sash?
Can you read the last line that led into the sash?
Away to the window, I flew like a flash, tore open the shutter, and threw up the sash. When I was younger, my mom would read this to us before we went to bed on Christmas Eve, and every time she said, and threw up the sash, my sister Colleen would go, bleh, and we'd all laugh. So, all right, what is a sash? Okay, all right, everybody good? Okay, Carmen,
yep.
I'm going to have you publicly reveal your answers first. And then we're going to confirm with everybody in the audience, okay? Question number one, the first character that flashed on the screen, who was that?
Rudolph, okay. The red-nosed reindeer. It's just to complete his last
you
name.
You think that's his proper name?
Yes.
Okay. Question number two, who was that? What's your guess?
Fiery.
Fiery?
Yeah.
Like with, heads a, on like fire. With a capital F?
Yes.
Yeah, incorrect. Okay.
Hermie?
Question number three. We'll flash these up on the screen at the end. We'll flash the answers. Question number three. What geographic location does Santa Claus reside?
He's at the North Pole, John.
That's good. That's good. What continent is that a part of?
Antarctica.
Interesting. 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 Okay.
I swear that's at the top. And,
number five.
Or I don't know.
What was the name of this boy who got left home alone?
Kevin McAllister.
Good, good. Kevin McAllister. And in the same movie, what was the nickname of the criminal duo, Marv and Harry?
Well, I have an opportunity to cheat here because I got a text from Thomas Fisher telling me the answer. So am I allowed to?
Wow. Not who I was expecting to betray me.
I know.
Okay, so you did not get that one.
No.
All right, number seven. What's the wish of Barney and Ben?
Dolls That Will Talk and We'll Go for a Walk.
No, that's Janice and Jen.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Still no. Okay. It's okay, number 8. What's a sash?
Has to be some type. Give me a little, room for
I'll
air.
I'll be general.
On a window covering.
A window covering. A
curtain. Okay. Something.
Okay, let's put the answers up on the screen. Let's show. Number 1, Rudolph. Number 2, Heat Miser.
What?
Yeah, he's trying to ruin Christmas by making it hot.
Fiery. I mean, that's pretty good.
Okay, number 3, the North Pole. Number 4, what continent is, it's not on a continent, it's a floating piece of ice. Your answer was exactly opposite. So, the South Pole is in Antarctica.
Whoops.
Number 5, Kevin McAllister. Number 6, the criminal duo, the Wet Bandits.
Yeah, that's what he texted me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. And number 7, a pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots. And number 8, it's, okay, on a window, there's the bottom part that you can push up and down. That's a sash. Yeah, I know. Not many people know that. Only people who love Christmas know that. So how many did you get right?
So, I mean, I got several.
One,
I got 1,
2, did you say 7?
3,
4.
No,
four.
I didn't get 4. I said
You got window. I'll give you that one.
Oh, for a curtain. That's
you
nice.
You said part of a window.
Yeah, okay, 4.
All right, I need everybody who got 4. Out of 8, to stand up.
At least 4. Wow. Crushed most people. Didn't I, John?
Yeah. Jenna, thanks for playing.
Support.
Okay. If you got 5, remain standing. If you got less than 5, sit down. There's a lot of people who love Christmas more than you, Carmen. It's about half the room.
Yeah.
Okay, if you got 6, stay standing. If you got 5, sit down. Wow.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Okay, 7? Oh. Anybody get 7? Oh my gosh, was anybody perfect besides me? Was anybody besides
8?
Me perfect? Anybody get 8? Anybody get 8? Oh, somebody that's not standing. All right, well, congratulations on loving Christmas more than Carmen. Carmen, I think I proved my point.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I hope that you can get into the spirit in the next couple days.
Hey, John, tell yourself. I look very peppy. Let's bring Joel up here and see how many he got. I'm positive if I beat anyone.
It's pretty Christmassy. He's wearing suspenders.
Please, okay, stop the flipping whistle. He's been whistling at us for the last... I don't know, several weeks, and it's very alarming, as you can imagine. How many did you get right?
I honestly got 4.
Right?
I got 4 right.
Uh-huh.
Disappointing.
Yeah. I'm very disappointed.
I'm not surprised. So.
I feel very Christmassy right now.
All right.
In this moment.
Take it away.
All right, okay. Give it up for these guys. Thanks for being here. Thank you guys for coming and standing in the back. We're glad that you guys are here. Thank you to Jake Barber, or his name is Jake Bame. That's so funny. I call him Jake Barber because he's a barber. But he told me when I first met him, Jake, where are you? You may not know this. When I first met you, I was like, what's your name? And you were like, just put in your phone Jake Barber. So I call you Jake Barber, and everyone else thinks it's offensive. But thank you, Jake Barber, for the coffee. Guys, we're going to do this, and we're going to get excited about what's about to happen at our church, okay? There is an amazing opportunity that we all have coming up in the next 2 days. And my job this morning is to get you guys excited about it, okay? So that's my job. And it's not easy to do, or it's not easy to get a bunch of Midwestern people excited about much. I mean, the SEC makes fun of the Big Ten for how, little they, are expressive about how much they love their football team. So I feel like I have a very big job to do today. Very big job to do today. Now, recently I started coaching a third grade boys basketball team that my son is on. And he does, the head coach, I'm the assistant coach, he does something really fun to get everybody excited. And I'm going to see if it works. So here's how it works. I want everyone to stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. And we're going to see how this works. So what happens is, in order for you to actually be excited, there's actually one thing that has to happen that like proves that you're excited about something. Does anybody know what it is? No, you don't know what it is because you don't do it. What it is when you actually get excited about something, your feet leave the ground. Yeah. Lords start leaping, okay? When people are excited, they jump, right? Yeah, they do. So here's the deal. I'm going to say something like, who's ready to have a great Christmas? Give me two claps. And then everyone has to go, that is horrible. That's horrible. I didn't even have you try. You tried to try and it was bad. So it'll be like, who's ready to have a super fun time at Christmas? Give me two claps. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do that. And then after every two times I ask a question, you have to turn to the person next to you and go, oh, like you're getting ready to chest bump them, and then we'll start again, okay? All right, so here's the deal. Who's ready to have a really good Christmas time? Give me two claps. Who's ready to sing a lot of Christmas songs? Give me two claps. Oh, that's pretty good, that's pretty good. Who's ready to hear a Christmas sermon? Give me two claps. Who's ready to sit down with family and open up Christmas presents? Give me two claps. Oh! Who's ready to hear David McCurry make up a dumb joke? Give me two claps. Who's ready to drink some eggnog? Give me two claps. Oh! All right, you guys can sit down. It's time to get excited about Christmas. And one of the reasons that we don't get excited is because we forget about how wonderful Christmas really is. We really forget, and it happens easy. It's easy for us for wonderful things to become familiar, to become very, very familiar. Like a month and a half ago, I had LASIK surgery, and I'm going to take a minute and describe in detail LASIK surgery. Just kidding. But actually, it's remarkable what they did to my eyes. Unbelievable. They put me in this room, a machine goes over my face, it does all the stuff that it does, I'm not going to go through it, and then literally, I was negative 3.50 in my contacts for the past 20 years. As soon as I sat up from getting the surgery, I had 20/20 vision. Right away, my eyes hurt for 4 hours. I was in pain. I was in like real like, at times, it peaked at like a 7 out of 10 pain where I was like, ooh, if I had to go through this for a long time, I wouldn't be able to handle it. Literally, 3 hours, 45 minutes, the pain went from its full amount down to 50%, and within another 25 minutes or so, it was almost completely gone. And I went to the doctor. I drove myself the next morning at 8 o'clock a.m. to the doctor, and I had 20/15 vision. That's amazing. That is amazing. And so for the first week, I was like, I can't believe like I can fall asleep without taking my glasses off. I don't have to wear my transition sunglasses that everyone on staff makes fun of me for. Like my half transition sunglasses. And they literally, it's like old man jokes. Like, I got some dad jokes for everyone today. Don't worry. But like that I get made fun of. I don't actually think it's cool. I don't care. I think it's cool that your glasses turn into sunglasses in the sun. I think that's cool. It's cool. So like, literally that was a month and a half ago. And this week I was operating and have been operating like that's just been the way my life has been. It's just always been that way. Like I've always had 20/20 vision. I just don't worry about taking my contacts. Any contact wearers out there, right? Like, oh, like just the little, it's a little thing, but it's every day in the morning, at night, taking them out, putting them in the case, putting on your glasses, finding your glasses, cleaning your glasses, waking up, not being able to see. It's this whole deal. And now it's gone. And within a month, I was acting like seeing perfectly was totally normal, not that big of a deal. Oh, yeah, I just drive down the street. Oh, yeah, I just close my eyes, wake up, I can see 20/20. No big deal. We forget. And so what I want to remind us of is that something about the Christmas story is so exciting that it should grab us and make us jump. It should grab us and fire us up. And then it's not just that it needs to do that because it's amazing. It's that if it doesn't do that, it's not doing what God intended it to do. Because God did something so exciting with the gift of Jesus that it's supposed to be so real for us that we can't hold it in. And this isn't a personality thing. No matter what your personality is, you can be quietly excited about the gospel. You can share something. You can say something to an individual. You can step outside. Whatever your way of saying you're excited about something, if you're not doing it, it's because you forgot. It's because you forgot what God did. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you don't have a relationship with him, this might remind you or for the first time show you what it is you're supposed to be excited about. And for those of us that know him, it's our job to stir up the amazing message and the gift of Jesus at Christmas time. It's our job, because when we show up to these Christmas services, how excited we are is going to matter. It's going to matter. And so it's my job to get us excited today. So here's what I want to share with you in way of a reminder for the Christmas Eve services and for your heart as you're preparing to be there. I want to remind you that we've been looking in this church at the Christmas story in the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, the author says that Jesus is supposed to be called Jesus because he's going to save the people from all of their sins, and that he should be called Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Say it out. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So Jesus Christ being born is God with us. He's here. Now, an amazing piece of that story is that God told Joseph through a dream, through an angel, to name his son Jesus in Emmanuel. And it's so cool that Joseph actually goes on and names him Jesus. He does what he tells him to do. He's like, okay, so here he is. Let's name him Jesus, because God told us to name him Jesus. And by naming him Jesus, Joseph was saying, this is God with us. This is who God said was going to be born. This is the story. This is the prophecy fulfilled right here. God with us. Now, Jesus grows up and does all the beautiful, wonderful things that we know, the miracles, the building of his followers and his disciples. He does all of those wonderful things. Raises people from the dead, helps the blind see, does all those amazing things. Teaches about the purpose of his life and lives his life in a remarkable way. Breaking down cultural boundaries, communicating totally different ideas about what it means to be in a kingdom and who the real king is. And then Jesus is betrayed by his friend, and he ends up hanging on a cross and going through a crucifixion process that's awful. He dies, he goes into a grave, and then he raises from the dead. He raises from the dead and he shows himself to many. And then he brings all of his disciples together as a resurrected Christ, as the resurrected Lord of Lords. He brings them all together and he calls them to this mountain. And he says this to them. He says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus tells his disciples, now you're going to go tell everybody about me and that I'm the king. And you're going to bring them into a relationship with me. And you're going to walk with them. And you're going to share what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And he says, and the entire time that you go and do that, and the entire time that the church goes out and does that, I will be with you. I am Emmanuel. You see, one of the things that we have to understand theologically is that when we all gather, we don't have to do something special to have God show up. We don't have to do a special song. We don't have to do a special sermon. We don't have to do like the right type of giving announcement. You don't have to have the right heart necessarily. It all doesn't matter, because here's the reality. Whether or not we want God with us, he is with us. He's here. He's right here. So when we pray a good prayer, we don't summon the presence of God. When we gather and we sing songs, it doesn't mean that God shows up. You see, the difference between those that are fired up and not fired up are the ones that recognize that God is already here. He's already here. He's right here. He's in you. So it's not like we're going to come to church and God's going to show up when we get there. It's we're bringing God to church. You see, the message of the gospel is that God wanted to be with people, and he was with them, then it was broken, then he was in a tabernacle, then he was in a temple, then he left, and then he came as a baby. He did this sacrificial, life-giving, forgiving move. He gave us resurrection hope. He gave us forgiveness of our sins. Then he stood on a mountain, and he said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send another one, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be with you the whole time. When you mess up, Jesus is with you. When you're at church, Jesus is with you. When you go to sleep, Jesus is with you. When you do your job, Jesus is with you. When you parent, when you work, when you drive, when you fly, Jesus is always with us, all the time. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Two ways the Holy Spirit shows up to the disciples after Jesus leaves. The first one is Jesus and John. He has a conversation with the disciples, and it says he breathed on them, and they received the Spirit. So they had the Spirit. A lot of people that grew up in church think that the Spirit just showed up at Pentecost. Jesus breathed on them. They had the Spirit. I'm with you. Jesus is with you. And then after Jesus leaves on the day of Pentecost, the disciples are waiting in an upper room. And you can read about this in the book of Acts. And it says that the Holy Spirit showed up and they started to speak in different languages and tongues so that people from different nations could hear the gospel message. And it says that there was a wind. And it says that there was something the shape of a what? Above their heads. A fire. Fire! You know what the Holy Spirit is? Fire in you. The Holy Spirit is firepower in your chest. And whether you know he's there or not, he is stoked. You are the one who has to recognize his presence. It's your job to get yourself fired up for Christmas. It's your job to actually communicate that you believe the God of the world is with you, residing, dwelling richly in your heart. It's your job to know that truth. You forget, and you won't be fired up. Remind yourself between now and then. Say, God is with me. Say it right now. God is with me. He is with you. He's with us. The reason it's so important to be fired up, if I can get these dominoes to stand up. Oh, Lord, help me. My hands are shaking. The reason it's so important to be fired up, when you're fired up and God gets a hold of you, someone get that for me. You fall over. Get it for me. You fall over. You get excited. You jump. You bounce. Hand it to me. Hand it very gently, John. Gently hand it to me. Thank you. When you are excited and you're all by yourself, it's not good enough. You see, you're supposed to be excited, and then God gets a hold of you, and you have an impact. You're supposed to make an impact. The fire that is in you is supposed to cause a domino effect on the world around you. We are supposed to have record numbers at our church services because the people of God believe that the Spirit of the living God is what? With them. He's with you. So I'm going to call the band up right now, and we are going to sing in a different way. We are not singing to summon the presence of God. We are singing to remind ourselves of the presence of the living God. The fire of God is inside of you. If you don't know that, you need to remind yourself. It's easy to forget, but it's an amazing reality that we're supposed to be pepped up for. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age." Dad joke. Jesus is afraid of heights. Sorry. You guys and I, it's our job to take the next 12 hours and to stir the Spirit of the living God up inside of us. And what happens is as you focus on who God is, you realize the blessing of his presence. If you spend the next 12 hours thinking about you, you'll miss the presence of God. You got to focus on Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. You need to pray to him. You need to ask him to meet you in the blank. You need to ask him to meet you in the doubt. You need to ask him to meet you in the fear. You need to say, God, I don't feel your presence, but I trust your presence is with me. People who walk by faith know that God is with them whether they feel it or not. Because the resurrected Jesus said to his disciples, I will be with you. I'm right there, and I'm just as fired up as I've always been. You need to stir it up. Remind yourselves. So it's our job as the church. We are the light. We are the ones who are supposed to move into the darkness. We are the ones who are supposed to cause a domino effect. And when we are fired up, it will affect the world around us. And we need standing room only for the next four services at this church because Jesus loves people. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every single person to wade into and go headfirst into the lavish love of God. And the difference will be if you know he's with you and if it's fired you up enough to tell someone, go invite someone to these services because God is with you and he wants to be with them as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us. Father, I think about my heart and my life, and oftentimes I feel I am not worthy of your presence. I'm not. And I'm so grateful that you didn't say in Matthew 28 to the disciples, if you think the right thoughts, if you do the right things, if you are always behaved, if you all this, you said, I will be with you no matter what. God, help us to magnify you. Help us to know you're here. Help us to feel your presence. And help so many people become a dwelling place for you over the Christmas season. We adore you. You are faithful to be with us. Help us to recognize your presence as we sing and worship you together.
Nice and excited for our services over the next 2 days. We hope to see you guys tomorrow or on Tuesday. Let's get excited about Christmas, all right?
Door. Jesus, to thee be all glory.
Of the presence of God inside of them, give me two claps. Who's ready to invite some people to Christmas Eve services? Give me two claps. We'll see you guys there. Merry Christmas. See you guys.